going through some really tough things right now. It might be look like everything's dying, but Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever comes to me, if you believe in me, though you are dead, yet will you live. This is the power that Jesus demonstrated when he went to the cross. The power over death. The power over sin. It's so easy as human beings to slip into a routine, right? To become religious, to go through the act of being believers, but not really in our hearts having a connection with God. This year, our theme at church has been about, you know, living in the presence of God. Not just knowing that God's everywhere, but actually being able to experience God's presence. But that is a gift that we're given. But if we get into a routine and we just start going through religious motions, it's easy to forget that the real thing that Jesus came for was to bring us back into relationship with God. The greatest thing that was lost in the garden when mankind fell was the daily communion with God. To be able to walk with God and to have a relationship with God. And Jesus came to restore it. He came to bring it back. As we remember him today, remember, Christianity is not about a routine. It's not a religious set of rules. It's not a bunch of boxes to tick. It's a relationship to build and to grow and to have. It's really important for us to remember that that is what it's about. So today, as we celebrate Good Friday, don't let it just be a routine. Don't let it just fall into the trap of just becoming, oh yeah, we did this last year, we did it the year before, we're going to do it again next year, whatever. Right? But this is a day to remember why Jesus came to the earth. It's a day packed with so much meaning and emotion that has set the world upside down ever since. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people gathered up in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell there. And today, over 2 billion people across the planet confess Jesus is Lord. That Jesus turned the world upside down. That day changed everything. And we need to really understand this. If you walk with Jesus for a while, sometimes it feels like, you know, you forget how important our relationship with him is and how important the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was. It's really, really important. So I'm going to try and walk through a little bit of just what Jesus went through. And I have scripture, but I'm just going to kind of go from my heart on this, okay? And then after that, we're going to celebrate communion. And I just have three quick little points I want to make, and we'll be done. I'll wrap it up. So really, you know, Jesus was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, celebrated. He was celebrated, but he wasn't fooled. Jesus was not fooled by, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and we're going to make him the king, and he's going to rule over us, and he's going to, oust Roman rule off our shoulders, and we're going to be free. Jesus didn't come for that. He knew he didn't come for that. He wasn't fooled by it. He rode the donkey because that was what was prophesied in Scripture. He came into Jerusalem on a colt, and he went immediately after that to the temple, and he cast out the money changers, and he made a whip, and he did what we think Christians should never do. He got angry, and he was upset because his house, his father's house, had become a house of trading and greed, and it wasn't a house of prayer anymore, and it became a place of sin. And so as he moved toward that day, Judas Iscariot, one of his 12, went and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. I'm not really sure how much that is, but I guess it was a lot in that day to sell out a friend. He sold out a friend. He was sitting at the table with Jesus, and Jesus said, well, one of you among us is going to betray me. And Judas kind of, you know, did his thing, and Jesus said, well, go do what you got to do. And then they went after they sat at the table and they received the Lord's Supper. And I want to go ahead and I want to back up to this. Because one of the things Jesus said that night, it's with great desire that I've wanted to eat this with you, to have this Passover with you. As he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said it was with great desire. I think that whenever we go through anything in life, whenever we do anything in life, there has to be a reason why. You know, when people lose the reason why, they lose hope. There's things that make us work. Like, you know, I think this, you know, as a man, you know, I always felt the responsibility to take care of my family. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of mornings I don't feel like getting up and go to work, you know, over the years. You know, I used to sometimes work two or three jobs just to make ends meet back in the day. And I wasn't always feeling like getting up and going to work. But because I love Christine, because I love the boys, because I cared about my family, I got up and did it. You know, there's so many things that we do because there's a reason. And Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? To break the power of sin, to remove the barrier between us and God so now we could live face to face with God, so that we could have communion with him, so that we could share a life with him. He went through this, and he did it boldly. You know, like, so they went to the garden, and Jesus prayed there. He said, could you pray with me for an hour? And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. They went to sleep, and Jesus was there alone. He experienced loneliness for us. For us, Jesus was alone in the garden. He experienced betrayal and then loneliness. And then he was there in the garden with his disciples, and Judas came up and kissed him. And he betrayed him with the kiss, and they took him away. And as they were taking him away, Peter got all worked up, and he took his sword out and cut the ear off a soldier. Jesus said to him, Peter, don't you understand? Don't you get it? You're not here to protect me. There's a plan in place, and you just don't get it. But like, if I wanted right now, I could call 12 legions of angels. I could push the exit button. I'd be out of here. I don't need you to protect me. I'm trying to get something done. So Jesus, in this whole time that he was going through this pain, through this suffering, he could have gone. He could have pushed the button and said, forget it. Done. Left us to hell. Left us to a life without God. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. They dragged him away and they spit on him and they pushed a crown of thorns into his head and they beat him and they whipped him and they made him so that he didn't even look like a human being anymore. That's a big deal. Bible said that he was able to understand, relate to us, that he went through all this stuff so he could understand us, so that he could be with us in our struggle and in our sorrow. Jesus was beaten, he was whipped, he was bruised, and he was done, all that was done to him, because the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. He went through it for you and for me, and he did it boldly. He did it with strength. He did it with courage. He didn't have to. He could have pushed the button at any time and said, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm done. But he didn't. They hung him on a cross. They took his clothes. They left him there naked in front of the world to see. Put a sign over his head to mock him, saying, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. They gambled because he had good clothes and they didn't want to rip his clothes, so they gambled for him, and one of the soldiers won his clothes. He looked down at the people that were there mocking and jeering him, who were laughing at him, who were making fun of him. And he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we remember Jesus, are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to lay it aside? Are we willing to do like Jesus did and look down at people that were hurting him and abusing him and mocking him and say, Father, forgive them. It's unbelievable what Jesus went through. It was beautiful. He cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? The Godhead was separated. Jesus took the sin of the world on him. The Father had to look away, had to turn his face from him because he couldn't live with sin. Jesus, in the end, you know, like the criminals were beside him. And one criminal mocked him, and the other criminal asked for mercy. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I tell you this, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you'll turn to Jesus, if you'll acknowledge who he is, if you'll ask for mercy, he'll give you mercy. It's what he came for. It's what he died for. He didn't die because people were so good. He died because we were so bad. He loves you. He cares about you. He's committed to you. And then he cried out, it is finished. He gave up the ghost. I'd like the people who are serving communion to come forward and bring the communion emblems and pass them around. If you're a believer today, if you love Jesus, you're free to share communion with us. And as we're waiting, don't need any music playing. Just take a moment. Sometimes silence is a beautiful thing. Just take a moment and bow your head. Think about the sacrifice of Jesus. Remember what he did. And ask him today, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want to say to me as we're getting ready to? In verse 14, and it says, when the hour had come, he, that's Jesus, sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, I want you to listen to this. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. We just talked, and I didn't go into all the details because there's a lot of kids in the room this morning. But it was a mess. He went through a lot. He went through it alone. His disciples abandoned him. Really, the only ones that stuck with him were the ladies. They stayed with him. John showed up at the cross, but he was alone. And yet he says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this before I suffer. So he knew he would suffer. And he knew he had you in mind. Put your own name in if you want, but he had you in mind. He was thinking of you when he gave his life. He was thinking of you when he fervently desired to eat this meal before he suffered. He suffered for you and for me. And as we take this morning, I want you to be thankful. Because he did it for a purpose. It wasn't just symbolic. It wasn't just something he did as a religious exercise. There was meaning, there was power, and there was purpose in his death. There was meaning in the bread. It was his body broken for you. Broken for you and me so that we could be healed, so that we could have sound minds, so that we could live in peace, so we could have all that we need in our own bodies. Because Jesus took all that in his body on the tree. So as we take the bread, I'm going to read this. And then the part I like next is when he says, for I will not eat this again. And I think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus when he broke bread with them and drank the cup. The kingdom of God is now here among us. Isn't that awesome? Like, we're not waiting for a future kingdom, but we're looking forward to eternity when all sin and all the effects of sin on this world are gone. But right now, we live in the kingdom of God. Jesus is now. The kingdom of God is now here among us, the Bible says. So, he said, then he took the cup. Oh, sorry. This print is really small in my Bible. So, he took the cup. So, let's take the cup. And he gave thanks and said, take this. Divided among yourselves, for I say it to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So let's take the cup and let's give thanks that Jesus gave his life, that he shed his blood, that he paid the price for our sin. Let's take the cup. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your blood. We sang that song, nothing but the blood. What can wash us white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you gave your blood. There was no other way for us. We had no hope. We had no way. And you came and you gave us a way, the truth and the life, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your blood. We remember that your blood was shed so that we didn't have to be stuck in our sin and anymore. We didn't have to come under the power of sin anymore, but now we've been set free. Lord, that we are forgiven. Lord, that we are justified. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And so he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and said to them, or gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is broken or is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread and let's give thanks. Let's, if you need healing in your body this morning, let's just receive what God has for us. He paid. Lord, we thank you that your body was broken. Lord, we thank you that you were willing to pay the price, that you didn't push the exit button, but Lord, you actually went all the way to the cross for us. You gave your life. You poured out your blood. You did it willingly. No one took your life. That's what you said. But I give it. I give it willingly. So we thank you for that. We thank you for, Lord, your healing power that flows in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So three quick points and I'm done. So he ended with saying, "It is finished." And so this is a few of the things that were finished. So the first thing is our separation from God was ended. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the separation was gone. When Adam and Eve turned their back on God in the Garden of Eden and fell into sin, what it did was close the door of relationship between us. It slammed the door shut, and we went from a place where every day mankind got to walk with God in the garden and talk with him face to face. And then there was the dark ages, really, 4,000 years of silence almost from God, except God spoke through the sacrificial system. The high priest would go into the temple. He would make sacrifices. He would go before God. But that was the only communication from the prophets. There was some communication with God and from God, but it was very broken. Have you ever tried to talk? Like sometimes Christine's on the phone and she's talking to someone. I want to give a message to the person on the phone. And I'm like, "Christine, tell them this." And she's like, "I'm talking. Leave me alone." Right? And then it's like, "What did they say? I'm still talking. Leave me." You know that feeling? Well, that's what it was like before Jesus. We had this broken communication. The only ones that really could communicate with God were the priests. And we brought our sacrifices and we hoped. But there was no real relationship with God. And when Jesus came, he ended that. He stopped it. There was a huge chasm between mankind and God, one that could only be spanned by the blood of a sinless man, right? It was the only one. The only way was for the blood of the sinless to pay the price for the blood of the guilty. We were guilty. Jesus was innocent. He gave his blood willingly for us. God's desire to restore what was lost through sin was shown by his great love, as he allowed his own son to die in our place and to take all that upon him. I was having this conversation with someone one day, and they said to me, "Well, it couldn't have been that hard. He knew Jesus was going to rise from the dead." And I'm like, "Really? Really? Like, seriously, if you hit my son Logan back there, I'm going to hit you. If you hit him twice, I'm going to hit you harder. I'm sorry. I'm going to protect my son. He's my son. And to watch my son be spit upon, to be lied about, to take those stripes, to go through everything that Jesus went through. As a father, that does not compute, does not make sense. It, to me, the sacrifice was so great. And Jesus knew he was going to rise from the dead. He predicted it, but in that time, he was separated from his father's sin. He took the sin, the weight of the whole world upon him. We are created for relationship with God. And when Jesus said it is finished, he was saying the price has been paid. The power of sin has been broken. And once again, we can come into an intimate and passionate relationship with God if we choose to follow him and accept the gift of salvation. This is not a club. I know I say that a lot, but this is not a club. This is not a members only. This is not that. This is relationship with God. This is relationship with each other. That's what Jesus paid for. He didn't pay so you could have a nice clubhouse, pay your dues, and have some nice families to hang out with. It's not what he paid for. He paid so that you could be free and so you could have a relationship with him. The second thing that was finished was the death grip of sin that was holding us. Not only did sin separate us from a relationship with God, it also placed a default setting within us that placed us on a one-way track to hell. I got to be honest with you, I don't love talking about hell. The only people I'll ever talk about hell with is Christians, because we should know about it. We should know about it, not as a threat, but we should know about it because without Jesus, that's where we're going. And without Jesus, that's where our neighbors are going, our family are going, our friends are going. We need to understand that there's a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun. It makes us care about those around us. And we were on our way to hell, minding our own business, and God saved us by giving us Jesus. The good news is that God did not create hell for us, nor us for hell. He did not. He made a way. The Bible actually says in Peter, it says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that they should come to know Jesus as their Savior so that they can actually have that default sinning just put to right. This is what Jesus came. He came to put it to right. He came to straighten us out, not in a bad way, but to just help us with the problems that we had, to set us free. Because of the amazing love and grace of God, Jesus came to live a perfect life, perfectly sinless, perfectly obedient, and to die a horrible sinner's death. He died a horrible sinner's death. He took the weight of the whole world's sin upon him. He became guilty of our sin. He took that weight on him. You might not think you're a bad sinner, but he took every sin upon him. He paid the price for every sin. It does not matter if you're a mass murderer today or if you're a sex offender. Jesus paid the price for you. He loves you, and he wants to give you a new life. So all you mass murderers, just come up and confess. Right? No, but realistically, it does not matter the sin. But Jesus took that sin upon him. He took the guilt of that. He paid the price for that. He paid the full penalty for our sin, for your sin, because you're a sinner, and my sin, because I'm a sinner. The only difference between us and every other sinner is that we are saved by grace. Our relationship with God changed that. We are now saints. But without Jesus, we're sinners. So that he could release us from the death grip of sin and the torture of hell. All we need to do is ask him to come and free us, and he'll set us free. Just like the thief on the cross turned to him and said, "Have mercy on me." And he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The last point I want to make is today, the redemption of mankind was finished. And when I think about finished, you know, as a human being, finished is never finished. You know, yet this week we had spring conference last week. Right? And it was busy. And I had a busy week heading up to spring conference and a busy week this week. And this week I had to write two messages, one for today and one for, and you know, we had meetings and stuff. And so I finished my message for Sunday yesterday at about 4 o'clock. And I said, well, it's finished. And then when I woke up this morning, I started thinking about what I need to preach about next week, because it's never really finished. I was doing a renovation in our basement, and I renovated our bathroom. Don't ever ask me to do a renovation on a bathroom. So one thing I learned from doing it is I never want to do it again. but I'm telling you, like, I was done. I put the paint on, we hung the towels, and our guests came in and they were able to use it, and it was finished. And then I went outside to my car this morning, and there's a pile of deck lumber sitting on my yard, and I think, oh, I got to rip my deck apart and renovate that, because finished is never finished for us. Right? But the redemption of mankind is finished. There's nothing else you could do. It's done. Jesus paid in full the price for your redemption. Redemption means to buy back. To redeem means to buy back, to get the value back that you had. And Jesus paid in full for us to be bought back into the kingdom of God. He paid the price fully for us so that we could be bought back. I remember sitting at the bank TD Bank in Welland, Ontario on Niagara Street across the mall there in April of 94. Lying on the table in front of me was the final documents that Christine and I needed to sign so that we could actually take possession of our first house. Right? It was all done. So they called us a couple of days before, and the banker said, all the documents are finished. All you need to do is come and sign them, and the house is yours. It was done. And that day, Jesus said, it is finished. After all that he had suffered to prepare the way for you, he in essence was saying to you and to me, all the documents are ready. All you have to do is sign. All you have to do really is cry out to God. You just have to ask God for mercy. And it's finished. It's done. There's nothing you can do. Right? If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, maybe if I clean up a little bit, maybe then I can come to Jesus. Maybe if I just, you know, could get my attitude in check, maybe I could come to Jesus. But it's finished. Paid in full. There's nothing you have to do. You might be sitting here this morning and say, I'm pretty good. Like, I'm good. Like, I have a good attitude. Like, I come to church every time the door opens. I give in the offering. I do this and I do that. God must really love me. He does. But he loves the person that doesn't do any of that just as much as he loves you. Because it is finished. There's nothing you can do. It's finished. The price has been paid. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to grab hold of it all by yourself and make it happen. Rest in the finished work of the cross. Rest in the fact that Jesus paid it all, that he loves you. Today we're 2,000 years down the road and the voice still echoes through time and space. It says, it is finished. This is what the Bible says. I want to close with this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 says, if you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear and this burden is light. Just ask you to just bow your heads this morning. I just want to invite, if there's anybody here that's never just trusted Jesus for their salvation, if you've been trying to earn your way, if you're trying to make it better, if you're trying to do some self-improvement, whatever, or if you just thought maybe you don't need him, maybe God doesn't really understand you, maybe whatever, this morning Jesus is calling out to you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be a part of you. He wants you to come back into relationship with his Father. That's why he gave his life. If you're here today and that's you, we're going to pray a simple prayer. If you pray it, say it with your mouth and mean it with your heart, you're going to come into the family of God this morning. Your life's never going to be the same. So just this morning, if that's you, just if you don't mind, just put up. Lord, we come this morning. We thank you that you are King and you are Lord. We thank you that you gave your life. We celebrate, Lord, that the thing that you, Lord, were joyful about today, Lord, we benefit from. Lord, we get to be called sons and daughters of God. We get to have a relationship with you. So, Lord, just let that settle deep into our hearts, I pray. Lord, as we leave the room now and we go over and have some food and some fellowship, Lord, let our fellowship be pleasing to you. Let it be sweet, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.